Guru Nanak was sent to the school to just have some education, and the teacher began to teach him one, two. The procedure for this is wait, stop, wait. What do you mean by one? A child of 4 or 5 years old, and he said, this one means this one what? You see, he is conscious. Then he said, what is he? Because all this creation has come out of him. He is eternal. He is the maker of all creation. He is the ruling power. He has got no equal, no enmity in anybody, no fear of anybody. He surely has an existence. And he has come up about his own self. None is the maker of him. Then the teacher asked him, what is this? How can we hand? Can we? With the grace of a master. That's the gift of a master. How can we have it? What does it one stand for? He said, I do not mean by saying one. I mean this one stands for something else which is expressed as one. He is neither one nor two. He is something which can be experienced. We can go into him, absorb into him, the experience of which can be given by a master. And he can give us the realization of that one, for which one stands for. And how? He said, burn away all attachments outside, burn away all attachments, and make it ink. And with your conscious self, go on writing the praises of God. As long as we are attached all outside, we cannot know ourselves. And when we know ourselves with our conscious self, we can see Him what He is. Kabir was asked, if I say He is one, then the question of two arises. That equal to calling Him names. God is not either one or two. He is something expressed by these words. So, He is in Himself something which can be realized, not expressed in words. Guru Arjan gives a reason for that. Why we tell Him one? He says, because we are finite. Oh God, You are infinite. As we are finite, we only to measure from our finite scale. So Absolute God cannot be seen by anybody, and nobody has seen so far. Absolute God, nameless God, worldless God, did not come into expression. That power which came into expression, that is called word, that is called name. The outer expression of which is light and sound. And that light can be seen, that voice can be heard. That is why Bible says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and, light on my path. So every man, about Naam, it's also same sad thing. You come in contact with Naam, you see light compared to thousands of suns rising together. So you'll find what that God, every man has a secret chamber within himself, what is called the closet of the body within that, which is higher than the mind and heart both, and provides mind with the understanding to a certain extent, and the heart with feelings of love. This chamber is the kingdom of God within us. This is the crest jewel, the pearl of great price. The saints, when we come in contact with them, they open this chamber by withdrawing our attention from all outside. The test of a true master is the fact that in his company this marvelous realm opens up within us. And the light, divine light, which is expression of God, which is expression of power, is seen. And the Christ added, if your eye is single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad said, the light of Allah is found where? In the human temples. So I am quoting why this right understanding was given by saints, masters, coming from time to time. Krishna said, Lord Krishna said, I will give you divine light and you will see my glory with it. Buddha said the same thing. Every man possesses the bright mirror of illumination. This is all the Buddhists realized. Buddha further proclaimed that the way of the illumined ones is the growth of snowdrops behind the eyes. And when Christ came, it was as if a few crocuses opened their heart to the winter sky. But now the time has come when we can have a rebirth, which Christ spoke of when he said, the meek shall inherit the kingdom of God. So springtime is upon us now. There shall be more flowering saints, I would say now, to come up to give us, with the grace of God, a contact with the God into speaking power. So this is the revelation, spiritual revelation which is coming up. All awakening all around. So this is to be now. But why all these people? These things were told in the past, in the ears of the others, after a long time of testing. Now it is given out from the open platforms. People are having it without distinctions. Even those who are ready or not ready, at least they have got them. So this is what is needed. The times have changed now. So Master come from time to time to bring up these things into the experience of others who are born as man, because in man body only we can know God and no other. So absolute God, you know, is called wordless or nameless. When it came to, he wanted to be managed, he manifested. And the manifestation, naturally, there are vibration, and vibration results in two things, light and sound. So Guru Nanak was asked, with what eyes do you see? He said, those eyes are different than these eyes of flesh and bones. So outward expression, this is also, you see, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Shivnetra, third eye, latent eye, dipti shu, chashme batan, Persian philosophers say, that is open. They open that thing into the beyond. This is what is one function of the master. We confound him with the teachers of the world. We do respect to them all, at whose feet we have learned something. But this is something with all philosophy end, with your contact with the physical body, your outward system are set aside. The outward expression of God is light and sound. We can see Him with the single eye, or drifti shu, or shivnetra, or the third eye. Samasta braves were asked, what about God? Because they don't believe unless you see God, you see. This also Master says, so don't believe in the words of the Master. Unless you testify yourself, there is something. You must have something to start with, maybe little or more. That depends on each one's background. But you must have something to say. A man comes up to give you a very wonderful talk on the business principles. That is very informative. But the poor fellow to whom that talk is given, they have got no money to start with. So all teachers also promise you go on doing this, you'll have also some time, you must be prepared, you must be ready. Or you'll get it at the time of death, rest assured, your life is insured. But don't believe that. A bird in hand is better than two in the bush. Give your all and you'll have everything. No, not that. You must have seen, he does not want anything from you. He says, I have come to give. It is God's gift. Have it free. Do you have to pay for sunlight? Air? Say, why not for that gift of God which is God? Why should you? I mean, paid. So that's the first thing, you see. Master come to give, not to take. They stand on their own legs. And Shamashtavade told them, Bibhayan, you should be able to see with your eyes. Bibhayan, Sarai Mashuddhi, up to look the beloved within you with your own eyes, your God within you. And you must be able to hear his voice through your own inner ears. Now the question comes, how to open that eye with which you can see? He says, when you close your eyes, there's darkness. Then look penetrating into it, put in whole attention to it. That is knocking the door, you see, and it shall be opened. You continue to look directly there, you'll find light. Who will see that light? Your very self. So, you find, Tulsi says the same thing. Chavatavle says the thing, all say the same. Sit down in meditation, nothing comes up for years and years and years. Tulsi says, how to penetrate this darkness, you'll find that, sit at the feet of Sambhala. When you put in, he gives you boost, you see light. Is it not wonderful? Is it not less than miracle? What more miracle is required? So, you see, unless man rises above life of senses, inner way is not open. It is you have to see. That is why I said, know thyself, O man, know thyself. Who you are, what you are. We are what conscious entities. We have got attention. Attention is diverted from all outside and concentrated to one's own self. There you see the light. Very simple, very common sense point of view being put before you. He says, as long as, why do we not see him? Because the ramifications of the mind. Ripples are going on in the subconscious reservoir of our mind. Until that, those ripples are stand still, you cannot see him. It is something, take a pond covered in weeds. So you take out weed little by little every day, and all weed is weeded out. You can see in the water and see your face. And this weed, what is that? This is your body. The body is the beginning of all, what you say, delusions. We are having the body, we are working at the level of the body. body is changing. Every minute of life, being made of matter. All the world around us is changing, being made of matter. At the same speed at which our body is changing, as we are identified with it, this is an optical illusion that appears to be stationary. How to come out of that? This is the demonstration of which is given by mind. As you are identified with the mind, outward faculties, and the intellect, and you have reference, have recourse to the methods, to the practices, which are concerned with those things, how can you rise above them? So, rise above body consciousness, this is it. Given out by all masters. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. Be reborn. Be twice born. To withdraw your attention from all outside and from the body below, come to the seat of the soul in the body. This is called meditation. So meditation is the way back to God, which can be had only in man body, no other man body. So man is considered to be the highest in all creation, next to God. All gods and goddesses hanker to have the man body, because in man body alone we can know God. So Kabir says, oh man, why you boast you are the highest in man, if you have not known God? Your greatest lies in the fact only that you can see God. If you have not seen it, not, how can you? It is not a matter of only speaking, giving long or tall talks. So naturally, prayer arises from when our own efforts fail, where all human efforts fail, there the prayer succeeds. We make prayer to whom? A weak man prays to a strong man. Oh God, we are helpless, we are stuck fast in this vision of the man body, how can you come out? It's all locked on all sides. Oh God, send us some man who can take us out of the box of the man body. This is Mara Rumpel's praise. This is what Swamiji and all others say. Guru Nanak says, how to invert these outgoing? Somebody asked Guru Amar Das, how can you say, invert your outgoing faculty? He says, sit down and see. And he said, can you express invert? Sit down and see how the outgoing faculty are inverted. Then what happens? He says, when your attention is drawn from outside, you are practically body dead. You got no feeling in the body. When you rise above that physical level, you see the life mode. This is what you can do yourself, welcome you are. I go to the masters about whom you speak so much, go and ask them. If they get so well in Karnataka, you can do yourself well in life, what more is wanted? That is why I started that revolution is required, spiritual revolution, not at the level of body, but at the level of evil propensities which are taking you away from God. This is now springtime has come up. See what happens. There are times, high times. Times have changed. Old times. So that how this third eye, a single eye is open, so to have a vision of God. First thing required is the Guru Vari Master. Who has seen? Who sees? Who can make us see? Guru words means when you close your eyes, the darkness that removes the black darkness and light explodes out. Such a one is the elementary, what you say, criterion of the master. Not they all go ahead, you are not ready, you must ready this and that. Old days that were done like that. Now times have changed. Who considers the feet as a master for years? They give you something to start with. Now to maintain it, take it that the light which is within you is not darkness. So first thing required is a guru. Master, what is guru? World made flesh is called guru. God is manifested him in the man body, we call him a guru. We respect him. Bulb is there, there is light. The powerhouse is working there. That light can work only through the bulb, which is not fused. We respect the bulb also. When that is fused, then another bulb is put on. That light is the God power. That is called the Master power. That is called, what you say, Christ power. That never dies, goes on working from pole to pole to guide the child humanity way back to God. This is one thing required. Peter says, if you want to see God, go to somebody who has seen God. Who has not seen God, then how can they make you see? Now you find what is meant by a master or a guru, as compared with the other teachers of the world for whom we have got respect, for the teacher something of the outer world. How great respectful and gratefulness should be to such a man who gives you this. So it happened with the, our master. You see, there were Christian missionaries there, out of place of Vyas. They once asked him to say, well, look, you're telling him, who is greater, the Christ or your guru? Very politely replied, look here, I have seen my guru, not seen Christ with you. Make him appear to us, me, I will distinguish between the two. So if bodies leave, that power does not end, that goes on. The food for the hungry, in water for the thirsty. Demand and supply is a law of nature. The child which was born 1,000 years back, 100 years back, 20 years back, and now, God makes arrangement of milk in the mother before birth. Don't you think that will continue further? So this is law of nature, you see. God's law works out. This is one thing required. And second thing is true life. Ethical life is stepping stone to spirituality. Truth is above all, and true living is above truth. When they come, masters come to the world, they say, see, so many social bodies are there. People say there are one or two or three. When Guru Nanak came, it was two times, two only. Indian Muhammad is there, paramount. And Guru Nanak came us and said, I am neither a Hindu nor a Mohammedan. Then who you are? Then what you bear the label of Hindu? Then, yes, it is so, but I am not this own label given to me. I am a man, body made, my body is made of 5 elements. That power which enlivens this man's body, that I am. Now the times have changed, there are more than 700 social bodies in the world. So Master, don't touch the outer bodies. Don't touch the outer labels. They simply see they are man. They are in soul bodies. Have the same essence as that of God. And the same controlling power keeping in the body. So man body is the highest in our creation. So for that, for which is required good living. True living. Tell him you saw, see what it means. To be truthful, don't deceive yourself. God is within you. He watches your every action. Even what is the very trend of mind you are going having. We can conceive with others. Darkness, deeds of darkness are committed in the dark, mind that. If anything requires seclusion, must there is something wrong. Anything what you do, and you, when you are asked, you have to tell lie. Consider that is the thing. There are two criteria. Always what are you test them by these two criteria. So be truthful. God resides in every heart. We are also brothers and sisters in God, drops of the ocean of all consciousness. No high, no low. And the same power controls our Nijibhasis whom we worship. We don't have any hatred because you are a man of position, because you are a learned man, because you are a very rich man. All are equal. Some is standing on the table, the other is sitting in the chair. That is due to the real actions of the past karma. Then comes chastity of thought that defiles your whole body. You can't expect God to manifest in a body which is full of filth. Then comes violence, non-violence, violence in word, deed and thought. So all this filth comes through the mind which defiles the man body. God, blessed are they who are blessed. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You cannot expect God to manifest in the filthy rooms. He is there already, he won't manifest. If the bulb is there, light within is good. All the nose, what is the black spots? Can you see any light? So this is what is required, true living. And the third one is saying, you know, they take you, give you the direct inner way back to God. They don't touch your outer rituals, forms, label, way of living, outer. They allow you to remain in your own social body. There are so many others, more than 700. He's not going to make another new form. Our master was once asked by some people who wanted to start a new religion. He says there are so many wells already they are dug up. Why should I dig up a new well? What is already there? The basic teaching of all masters is the same. Why not take this? So he did not form any new religion. Not there any possibility to have anything new. Already so many are there. So they do not have recourse to what? To form new things. They come to maintain. They come to fulfill, not this time. They love all. When they come, they are not the monopoly of any sect or religion, not monopoly of the East or the West. They come from all the world over. Just like sun rises, gives light to all the world over. They come for all the world. Their teachings are very simple, to the point. And most easy and most natural, as compared with all other ways of yoga. So they give you not to follow this ritual or this one or that form or this level or that level. They simply give you a lift from the body. Raise it above the physical body. Open the inner side to see the light of God. That is the capital they give you the very first. After all, we have to leave the body. This gives you a demonstration of how to leave your body. If you work day to day regular practice, what you will find? When you time of your leaving your body, you are jolly, you go smiling, because you know how to leave your body every day. All glory and beauty lies within you. So they don't give you the outer ways of living, as rituals, as the customs of the various social parties, because they are not going to form any new religion. They come only bring you religion of God, religion of love.
Hello and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording that was just played was the last 30 minutes of the talk titled Coming Spiritual Revolution, given by Master on 7th December 1972 at Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Our reader this evening is Rudy Cascon. Hello, Rudy.
Hello, Pradeep. Okay, I'll begin with Master's talk, chapter 29 of God-Man, Surrender to the Master. Surrender to the Master's feet, to the feet of the Master, is tantamount to merging one's individual will in the will of the Master and completely placing oneself at his mercy. It is the surest and easiest way to escape from all cares and anxieties. It comes only when a disciple has complete faith and confidence in the competency of the Master. This type of self-surrender may be likened to that of an extremely helpless patient who, confiding in the skill of a competent surgeon, places his life in his hands and quietly submits himself to his knife and lancet. Again, it may for analogy to be compared to the confidence of a weary traveler who has lost his way in the thick of a trackless jungle and through utter exhaustion is unable to take a single step forward. And the ranger of the forest offering to be his guide through the mighty maze. It's exactly the same way the work of the Master does not consist in mere teaching the theory of Paravidya, the science of the beyond, but it includes the practical demonstration of the results of spiritual experiments and help and guidance of aspirants through all their difficulties. A true friend does not give only theoretical lessons as to how best one may escape from the wiles of mind and matter, but he actually helps in effecting the escape itself. Suppose, for instance, that a person has to go abroad. He will, in the first instance, make inquiries of the various means of transportation by land, sea, or air, as his preference may be. As soon as he makes his choice, he entrains, embarks, or emplanes, and relying on the skill of the engineer, sea captain, or air pilot, he takes his seat comfortably without the least anxiety. Should the ship flounder or the plane be caught in the storm, it is the duty of the captain or the pilot to take every possible care to save the conveyance along with the passengers under his charge. In exactly the same way, an aspirant for spiritual realms has, after careful investigation, to decide first about the spiritual worthiness of a master, and then to submit himself wholly and solely to his authority and directions without any mental reservations whatever, for he alone knows the turns and twists of the spiritual path and is in a position to act as an unerring guide. And here we have a quote from Dryden, the poet of England. Where can we hope for an unerring guide? The term surrender, therefore, denotes that a disciple should have full confidence in the skill and competence of the Master and scrupulously follow and act on his instructions, whatever they may be, whether in conformity with his own reason or not. For his reason, being limited, may be faulty or fall far short of the depth or prove uncertain. It is not for him to question the propriety of the Master's commandments. He must learn soldier-like, to do and die at his command without knowing why and wherefore of things for the master knows what is best and most suitable in each case. One must therefore obey the master literally and straightway engaged in the sadhan, or spiritual discipline and practice, as it may be laid down for him. This is the only way to success, and there is no other. In this context, we have the testimony of Hafiz, a great Sufi poet of Persia, who declared, "Dye thy prayer carpet in deep wine color should the master so desire, for he alone knows best the why and wherefore of what he ordains." When a disciple entrusts his all to the master, he becomes carefree, and the master has of necessity to take over his entire responsibility on himself, just as a mother does of her child who knows not what is good for him. As the disciple develops in his sadhan, or spiritual discipline, he fits himself to receive more grace from the master. Under the kind and benign influence of the master, he begins to thrive from day to day, and all his wishes are fulfilled, without the least trouble on his part. Sages and seers cry from the housetops, "Ye seekers after peace, hie to a master saint." In Discourses 28 of the Song Celestial, verse 66, the Blessed Lord Krishna, as the world teacher, announces, "Abandon all duties and come to me, the only refuge, and I will deliver thee from all sins. Grieve not." In the Holy Quran, we have likewise, "Whosoever surrenders his purpose to Allah while doing good, his reward is with his Lord, and no fear shall come upon him, neither shall he grieve." Again, "And I will turn my hand upon thee, and surely purge away thy dross, and take away all thy sins. Also call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee." Self-surrender is not an easy task. In it, one has to recede back to the position of an innocent child. It means entire involution, a complete metamorphosis, supplanting one's own individuality. It is the path of self-abnegation which everybody cannot take. On the other hand, the path of spiritual discipline is comparatively easy. Self-effort, everyone can try for himself or herself, for an end in view, to wit, spiritual advancement. It is, no doubt, a long and tortuous path as compared with the former, but one can, with confidence in the master, tread it firmly step by step. If, however, a person may be fortunate enough to take to self-surrender, he can have all the blessings of the master quickly, for then he goes into his lap directly and has nothing to do by himself for himself. He is then the master's elect, his beloved son, the son of God himself. But very rarely even a really blessed soul may be able to acquire this attitude. Should the Lord so ordain, then, O Nanak, a person may take the path of self-surrender. Blessed indeed is the one who surrenders at the feet of the Satguru. Standing near truth, he revels in truth and easily merges in truth. O Nanak, it is by the Lord's grace that one meets such a gurumukh. In the scriptures, one finds quite a number of advantages that accrue from adopting this path. All ills and sorrows vanish by surrender at the master's feet. In the world of joys and sorrows, he alone escapes who gains the feet of the Satguru. A gurumukh stands apart from the three gunas and is acceptable to the Lord. In self-surrender, the mind becomes purified, but chanting of God's name alone does not help. For the world's good do they come, who thirst for a sight of him. He who surrenders makes a clean escape with desires all fulfilled. All joys lie with Satguru. Bow then at his feet. Blissful is the very sight of him. With no regrets, chant paeans unto him. I see the world being consumed in the fire of egoism. Escape thou by surrender to the Master, and then attend to true Shabd. I surrender to one who alone is the cause, both material and efficient. His grace has shown the native land in the light of the moon. With life impulse from a perfect master, Ram Nam rests in me. O Nanak, with a surrender to the master's feet, the Lord himself becomes merciful. In Kalyuga, Nam lies hidden everywhere, and the Lord in fullness pervades, but the precious Nam becomes manifest in them that surrender to the master. With the blessings of the Guru, one becomes fearless of death and is successfully ferried across the sea of life. He happily conquers death and never goes to hell. O Nanak, he is saved by surrender, for Hari just takes him into his care. Having been accepted by the acceptor, all his acts become pure. O Nanak, never will go to hell. Such is the gift of surrender. None but the elect engage in the devotion of Nam. O Nanak, with surrender at the Master's feet, one never comes and goes. Dispeller of ills and Lord of all is attained through surrender to Asad, and the tumultuous sea of life is ferried across quickly. With surrender to Satguru, the Lord takes a jiva under his own protection and grants unto him the blessing of Sihaj, i.e. eternal happiness. All doubts and fears now disappear, and he comes to his own real self. And we will now transition to a wonderful story told by Baba Sawan Singh. The rules of conduct of great souls are very simple and straightforward. Hazur used to tell of a qazi, a kotwal or censor of morals in Persia, who, by a turn of fortune, was compelled to leave his country with his only daughter. On the way, the caravan was attacked by robbers, who killed many in the party, and in the looting that followed, carried away the daughter of the qazi with a view of selling her for money. The qazi, though wounded, escaped with his life, and in a sorry condition reached the town where he began to eke out a bare living. The governor of the town, on learning that the new arrival was learned in religious law, sent for him and made him the qazi of the town. Time is a great healing force, and gradually the memories of friends and relations, of deaths and losses, fade away from the memory of a person. He either busies himself in rehabilitation and adjusts to new surroundings, or if touched deeply, he turns towards God alongside his worldly pursuits. The qazi had a heart-rending experience, and sometimes he would find time in all his multifarious activities for devotion to God and solitude. Thus several years passed. One day, a few theologians appeared before the qazi and complained that Haifetz, a great religious devotee of Persia, was guilty of blasphemy and spoke things against the Quranic injunctions. They asked that he should be tried and sentenced for heresy, as he would lead the people astray from the path of rectitude and thereby endanger religion itself. The qazi, after hearing the complaints, inquired as to what the accused preached, and was informed that he very often repeated a half couplet, which was nothing but un-Islamic. And he would say, "Dye thy prayer carpet in wine should thy master so ordain." As the use of wine was an act of sacrilege, a teaching to the effect that the prayer carpet be dyed in wine was nothing but a horrible crime in direct opposition of the religious tenets and tended to corrupt the morals of the people. The Qazi heard this with grave attention and inquired the address of the devotee. He told them that he would himself go to the man and request him to stop his pernicious teachings. The next day, after discharging his daily religious duties, the Qazi went alone to the man he had heard of, and after formal salutations, he sat before him and said, "O thou respected being, I, thy servant, have received a complaint against thee from people who charge thee with leading others astray from the path of religion. Wouldst thou stop all of this?" The faker replied that he only repeated a half couplet before each of his visitors, which enjoined them to dye their prayer carpets in wine should a master so direct. The Qazi requested him to change or complete the couplet by adding the second half so as to clarify the meaning. At this, the fakir directed him to another religious fakir whose abode was on a hilltop, and who in turn told the Qazi that he would complete the couplet, if he, the Qazi, would spend the night at a particular prostitute's house. This request came as a double-edged shock to the Qazi. He, as the saying goes, had come with a request for the abstinence from the observance of fasts. Muhammadans observe these to gain religious merit, but was asked to offer prayers as well. To dye the carpet in wine, the prayer carpet in wine, was in itself a sacrilegious thing, but to spend a night in a brothel was intolerable blasphemy. The Qazi was indignant and on the verge of an outbreak of passion when the thought of all his learning and his respect for the men of God kept him under restraint. He tried to think of a way out of the strange predicament in which he found himself. He had often heard that the mysterious utterances of holy people are filled with hidden wisdom and that they utter nothing in vain. These thoughts prevented him from taking any hasty action against the man, and he therefore determined to fully investigate the position first. Reaching his home, he accordingly sent word to the prostitute that he would spend the night in her house. And when she received the message, she was beside herself with joy at the thought of such a renowned visitor. And that night, when the Qazi appeared, she presented a young girl for his entertainment. As the Qazi looked towards this girl, he saw that she was weeping and asked her what the matter was. Seeing the tears streaming down her rosy cheeks, he consolingly told her that he would not lay a finger on her, but asked her instead to relate without fear the tale of her woe. At these words, the girl gathered courage, and after wiping her tears, she informed him that she was a poor orphan girl from a noble family. For a long time, she had been tended by prostitutes who were this very night using her as a helpless instrument in their nefarious trade. So far, she was spotless and requested the Qazi to spare her the ignominy. And as she concluded her story, the tears once again welled in her eyes. The Qazi felt very sorry for her and inquired as to how she came to be with the prostitute and where her original home was so that he could restore her to her parents. The girl then narrated her story in full and told them that when she was 8 years of age, she had accompanied her father on a caravan journey. The caravan had been waylaid by marauders who had murdered most of the persons, wounded many others, plundered their belongings, and had carried her off and sold her to a prostitute. In those days, such incidents of people being waylaid and robbed were very common, and the Qazi had himself been such a victim some years earlier. He made up his mind to restore her to her parents and inquired of her place of origin, which strangely enough turned out to be his own hometown. When she told him the street and locality, he was very surprised at this remarkable coincidence. But when she gave the name of her father, the Qazi, now beside himself with surprise and joy, drew the girl toward him in loving embrace, for it was his daughter who sat before him. That night they spent in relating to each other their experiences, and the following day they both went to the religious devotee to thank him. The Qazi prostrated himself before the sage and confessed that it was impossible for men of the world to understand the wisdom of great souls. All worldly learning was of no consequence before such men, and it was only by implicitly following the sage's injunctions that he had been able to locate his daughter. He expressed his utter inability to show his gratitude for the great favor bestowed upon him and asked for future guidance and instruction. Thereupon, the devout man directed him to go back to Haifetz and ask him to complete the couplet by adding the second half of it. This Haifetz did. As the master traveler on the path is not ignorant of the twists and turns on the highway. Thus the Qazi established his faith in that good man and from then onwards became his disciple. The truth then is that only a fortunate person can understand the meaning of their apparently stray and offhand remarks. Every word uttered by a saint is pregnant with unalterable truth, which lies far beyond the human ken. They are the mouthpiece of God, and whatever they utter comes to them from above, though it may appear to be coming from mortal throats. A Hindu poet expressed the same idea in simple and lucid form. Whatever the disciple does in accordance with the instructions of the master, that forms part and parcel of his devotion. I now transition to what the guru does. What does the guru do? He puts the collyrium of nam in the eye by withdrawing the attention behind the eyes and banishes the darkness to give you light. The presence of light within is proof of contact with nam. Christ said, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If the single or spiritual eye is opened, you will see for yourself that your whole being is filled with light. The light of God. The Muslim brothers speak of Kahur Tur, at the mountain peak, the place behind the two physical eyes where the prophet Moses saw the radiance of the Lord. All masters tell us to rise above the body. The attention must rise above body consciousness to the still silent point behind and between the eyes, which is the seat of the soul, the focus point where the light becomes effulgent. Seeing the light within is the assurance of contact with nam. God is light, and nam is the power of that ever-existing Lord. One can call it the God in action power. Repeating nam with his tongue while alive, the yogi enjoys renunciation by cutting off all attention from outside. By devoting oneself to nam with full attention, one can achieve the same state of awakeness that the yogis reach when they arise from the deep sleep of illusion. At this, all illusionary attachment ceases, and this culminates the true renunciation of the world and its environments. True renunciation really means freedom from all attachment. And if you can achieve this, if you so desire, for this is the power and the greatness of nam. Guru Nanak was once discussing nam with some yogis, and he told them, like the lotus flower above the water and the duck which shakes herself dry, swim the ocean of life through the Surat Shabd. O Nanak, this is the greatness of Nam. One can swim this ocean of life untouched by the taints of the world. At present, mind and attention are like one, but they can be separated by rising above the senses and repeating Nam with the mind. The true awakening occurs when the mind is still and when rises above the body. We live in a very sad condition. The whole world sleeps in attachment and forgetfulness. How can this illusion go? Only with the aid of Nam power can one overcome this state of sleep and accomplish that which the masters advocate, to live in the world, but to be not of the world. Complete happiness comes by the incomparable realization through the indescribable formless Nam. This is a stage of nameless Nam, which has no form and is free from all impurity, and through which one can reach the height of an inestimable bliss. Tulsidas has first described the Nam and the form, and now he indicates that beyond this lies a stage of complete bliss, where Nam is formless, where Nam is no longer in expression and no longer uses name and form. So we begin to see the difference between the expression and the background of that expression. If you wish that concealed knowledge revealed, repeat the Nam with your life's breath. All right, here I'd like to stop and just give you three things to think about. Behold, I come as a thief in the night. Ye are all children of light. He is always present. I first read God-Man chapter 29, Surrender to the Master. Then from the March 1972 Satsandesh, Dye Your Prayer Carpet in Wine, page 19, starting from. And then from August 1973 Satsandesh, Nam and Ramayana, starting on page 9. What does the Guru do? Thank you, Master, and thank you all for listening, and please have a wonderful night. God bless you all.
Thank you, Rudy, for reading for us. We had 58 people in attendance for this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So Masters come tell us, they address us either as a man, from the level of a man, O man, awake, or from the level of the soul, conscious being, O children of light, awake, you are asleep.